Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Costco Business Center, offering delivery to Anchorage Air Cargo companies for shipments to rural Alaska for business and home. More at CostcoBusinessDelivery.com.
Welcome to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Torta. Today, we'll be discussing trail building projects for the summer of 2021. I'll have trail building professionals and volunteers talking about their organizations, projects they're working on, and how to get involved.
I'm very pleased to have a group of people who are heavily involved in trail building in Alaska, and especially in this year of COVID, where we've been all enjoying the trails. So today we have Steve Cleary with Alaska Trails. We have Kathy Sarnes, the president of Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park. Wes Hoskins is with Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation. And Nelson Crow with the Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers Association. Welcome, everybody. And the latter part of the show, I might add, we're also going to have Kristen Bile with the Interior Trails. But welcome, everybody.
Thanks, Paul.
Let's start with you, Steve. Let's talk about Alaska Trails, the organization, and all the great stuff that you all are up to.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we're very grateful to be on today, and I'm happy to be on with lots of other great folks around the state who are also doing wonderful things on trails. But yeah, I think we've all seen, as you said, the importance of trails to us and our communities, particularly during COVID. It's been such a great opportunity for us to get out and be healthy and be safe, even during the pandemic. So we've been really grateful for trails. And I know that our volunteers are going to be really excited. We had just a very small two or three volunteer events last summer because of COVID, with just a handful of volunteers, because we didn't want to be spreading the virus. And so we're busy planning to and hoping for safe events this summer. But through the pandemic, we did a pivot to having a couple trail crews. And so going forward now, we're going to have both trail crews and volunteers. And we really hope that it's going to be a great combination where the volunteers can come up and help with the paid trail crews. And so specifically for this summer, we are hoping to be working on the second phase of the Little O'Malley Peak Trail in Chugach State Park, in coordination with the park and with the Chugach Park Fund, one of our main and great partners. And then we're also, for this first time this summer, fielding a crew that will travel all over Chugach National Forest, with about 6 weeks in Cordova, and then a few weeks each in and around the communities of Girdwood and Moose Pass. And so we hope to have our volunteers working with those crews as well. And we're also lucky enough to have received grant funds from the Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation for work out there, mainly with the Matsu Borough at places like Settlers Bay and their coastal park and the other great trails that they're working on. The Matsu Valley has an incredible amount of trails and really great trails organizations. And so we're happy to be a part of that as well. When it fits in. And I would add that groups like the Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park and other volunteer groups around the state are a really good model for lots of us to follow. And we at Alaska Trails are learning from K-Bay. And so that's another role that Alaska Trails plays, is trying to connect groups and share information and learn from the great work that's going on around the state.
And Steve, in a normal year, let's talk about volunteer a little bit. If I'm interested in trail work, what do I do? How do I get trained? Where would I go? And like a more normal year to sort of get involved.
Sure. Yeah. So our volunteer effort entitled the Alaska Trail Stewards started in 2015 with just a couple events, and we've really grown since then. And so the last year without COVID in 2019, we had over 30 volunteer events and over 400 volunteers. And so the good news for aspiring volunteers is there's no experience necessary. We've got the equipment, and we've got the the supervision to train and orient people on day one. So we ask that people come ready with sturdy shoes and a good attitude and food and water for the day. But there's really no training necessary. And you can go to our website, alaska-trails.org, and check out some of our previous volunteer work at our Alaska Trail Steward site. But we are in the process of working with Plan Safer Events to make sure that we will be COVID safe this summer. But we're hoping to kick off on National Trails Day, which is June 5th. And so listeners can check out our website and get on our email list for more updates there. And we're happy to be doing a first and fledgling volunteer event for the summer in May with Go Hike Alaska, which will be a short cleanup of the Glen Alps parking area and kind of the trailhead there to make sure that that's ready to go for the summer. But we hope to schedule our first volunteer day starting on June 5th, National Trails Day. But we are still, like I said, making sure that everything's safe and ready for volunteers to come.
Yeah, super tricky in this pandemic, and we're sort of slowly moving out of it. Hopefully we'll be back to some normalcy here in a little while. Can you talk a little bit about the Little Mallee Trail and what's happening with that?
Yeah, so our work on the Little O'Malley Trail out of the Glen Alps Trailhead and Chugach State Park is somewhat similar to the Sunnyside of Flattop Trail reroute. So there was a trail basically in both instances kind of going straight up. It's rather difficult to hike, causes a lot of erosion. There's been a lot of photo documentation of the constant erosion that comes down Little O'Malley Peak. So essentially we're going to cut in a switchback or two to get to the top that then would link folks to the ball field, which is a pretty popular destination. And so we completed the first half last year, the reroute, through funding from the Chugach Park Fund and also from the CARES Act through the municipality of Anchorage. And so now we've gotten to the gully and we'll be fielding a crew, we hope, through a recreational trails program grant, but also teaming up volunteers with it. And so it's kind of gotten out of the brush now, and it'll be a lot of hand digging with hand tools to make sure that a sustainable trail is put in. And we want to put that sustainable trail in, not only for more enjoyment and better hiking, but also less maintenance and then less wear and tear on the ground and the landscape and the environment itself. And so we're hoping to have both, as I mentioned, volunteers and our trail crew on there. And we think we'll be able to, if we all goes well, we should be able to finish that this summer.
Yeah, that's a great project. That trail is sort of scary, especially coming down right now. It's a bunch of ball bearings on hard rock surface, so it's a little exciting. So very excited about that project. And your organization, Alaska Trails, it's a nonprofit, so I assume you take donations and
we certainly do. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the prompt. Yes. We love our volunteers and we want them to donate their time, but we also appreciate donations. We're on Picklick Give and all of that kind of thing as well. And I did want to mention in a typical year, starting in May, we would have a trail crew leader orientation, right, and two-day training. We weren't able to do that last summer, but we've done it for the prior 2 years. And we're really trying to, as the other organizations that we'll hear from today are, we're really trying to grow and train and nurture that volunteer base so that not only can volunteers come and have our staff supervise them, but eventually we'll get to the place where volunteers can be supervising volunteers. And I know Vimba, K-Bay, your other guests have really led the way on that kind of thing.
I haven't been involved in many trails over the years, including the flat top trails, that trail building is a science. One of our guests, Kristen Biles, has written a whole book about it. And it's a lot of standards. So a lot of times we go out and sort of feel like, oh, I don't like the way this trail, I'm going to go take my shovel and do some work on it. And that a lot of times ends up with unsustainable trails with erosion and other issues. And so I think this idea of training and getting volunteers trained is a fantastic way to get people involved. Thanks. And I would say last adjustment, and Steve, you've done a great job of helping build, pardon the pun, the trail, I don't know what you call it, construction, building ethics here in the state. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us all on today. And we're excited about the summer and hoping for a bright future ahead.
Yeah. This is Alaska Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Tordak. We're talking about trail projects and for the summer of 2021. So our next guest, we'll have Kathy Sarnes, and Kathy is the president of Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park. Kathy, tell us a bit about your organization and what's going on down in Homer.
Hi. Hey, thanks for having us on here. This is great. The Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park is a volunteer organization, and we coordinate and work with the Kachemak Bay State Park rangers. And one of our main goals lately has been to clear and make accessible existing trails, not necessarily improving them, except making them hikeable, because they were filling in, they were not hikeable, people were getting lost, and there looks to be less and less state park maintenance for existing trails. They do get grants, but we have 84 miles of trails over here. Some of the most stunning trails in the world, if you've ever been here, from the ocean to the top of the mountains. And at one point we maybe had 5 miles of them open and hikeable. So I didn't measure last year, but I'm pretty sure we were up to almost 20 miles of accessible trails, maybe 15. So anyway, and that was basically watching how, with climate change and everything, the trees are falling down. There's more open areas and there's more brush than there was even 8-10 years ago. So it's becoming a problem. A lot of the businesses in Homer rely on the trails being open over there, the water taxis, the tour guides, et cetera. So just in the last couple of years, the Friends went from just I'm not sure what they did because I wasn't a member until a couple of years ago. So, but we've stepped up and we are more active in clearing trails now. Whereas before we just kind of helped. As of last year, we got our own liability insurance and waiver, and we have our own trainings for chainsaw and brush cutters. And we have our own volunteer crew now that works under our umbrella. We also coordinate with the state park because they have their own volunteer form. But of course, last year with COVID, they were real crippled. They could only take one volunteer at a time across the bay. So we stepped up and jumped in and got our insurance, got the waiver, and we put in over 2,300 hours of volunteer time last summer and opened up several inaccessible trails. And we had a COVID mitigation plan. You know, we all wore masks on the boat and there were small groups. You know, we all stayed separated outside. Nobody got sick and we had a great summer with trainings and all that. So this year we're all excited from our success from last year and we're even a little more organized. We've got a couple of young people now on the board who know how to do Google Docs and Instagram and Facebook better than I did. And if you go to Kachemak Bay State Parks on Facebook or on Instagram, you can find the volunteer forms. They, our gal Dana, who's she's a vice president. She set it up so you can, she coordinated and made sure all the volunteer waivers are on one. The state parks is like three or four pages. And then ours is one page. And then you submit it to one email. Rather than confuse people with going to state parks and then coming to us, so once you sign up, you can, as a volunteer and sign the waiver, you can be a volunteer for either state parks when they have opportunities, which you'll get an email for, or for the Friends, which you would get an email for. And then soon after that, we're gonna have some recon trips. I love those, climbing around, seeing what needs to be done. And like, if anybody has never visited here, it's all, mostly everything we do is across the bay. We do some work on the Diamond Ridge trails here that are on this side. And we're hoping to work on soon, the Cottonwood Eastland. But for now, most of the existing trails are across the bay. You have to take a water taxi. And the water taxis have worked amazingly with us. They volunteer and get volunteers across the bay on a regular basis. So then our next big shingding is going to be Trails Day, June 5th. We're getting a list together now. We're working with the rangers to see what projects they need done and then see what we need done on our priority list. And it'll take a couple of us organizing that and keeping it in small groups and COVID safe and getting people across the bay for that. And it's usually a one day thing, but some people will stay overnight and work 2 days on Trails Day over there. If you ever get across the bay, it's worth just spending the night. It's so beautiful. And then for the summer, we're gonna, some of our priorities are, you know, continuing to work on the Grace Ridge Trail, improve that. It's open and hikeable. It's the best shape it's ever been in as of last year, but there's still always sections that need to be done. And like, we haven't done our recon yet, so we don't know how many trees are down. We'll find out. And then Sadie Knob Trail, which was unhikeable the beginning of last year. That was part of where a lot of our hours went last year. It is now hikeable from both ends. It has two trailheads, south and north. And we're gonna continue to work on that and improve that trail as far as just widening it and getting some of the old logs out of the way so it's easy to continue to maintain. At this point, we're not rerouting or doing any technical things yet. We're not in that department yet. We're just trying to get the trails that are there so people can hike them. Another thing on my list is what I like to see done is from Emerald Lake, the trail from Emerald Lake through the Portlock Plateau. We'd like to work and clear and widen that once, if we have time this summer after Sadie Knob and Grace. We'll see how long the summer lasts. And there's another big project that Dana Gregoire, you know, our vice president, is working on. And it's kind of a big one. It's updating all the trail signs on this side and that side across the bay. It's a pretty big project because most of our kiosks are getting weathered and fall, you know, not looking good. They look messy, and we're working to improve on that and improving and changing trail signs so that the ones that have been eaten by the bears can be replaced. So big project there. And the 100 Women Who Care from Homer, the funding from that is really gonna help. We're also would like to add some more trails to the Diamond Creek trails that are on this side of the bay and improve on those. And that is a great project that's been ongoing with coordination with the Homer Bike Club. They are the most instrumental in these wonderful trails that we have on this side. When I say this side, this side of the bay. Another thing we're gonna work on a little more this summer, because we have some extra funding donations, is supporting the state park volunteers that are coming here to work on the trails, because they have some grants. They are working on several projects, but the state park doesn't have funding, like things like for a refrigerator for them across the bay and a vacuum for their cabin. We're gonna see if we can help out with things like that. If we've got funding, we wanna be able to, we just wanna support anything that supports trails. And then our water trail, which is part of the Ketchikan Bay State Parks, is they're continuing working on and developing the Cottonwood Eastland access, because it's a chunk of land on this side of the bay that has some rough trails on it, but you can't really access it yet. So we have an ILMA in, we're waiting for the state park to process that. So we'd have a parking area that would be on East End Road, or, you know, easy to access. And then once that gets in, which is gonna be long and involved, then, you know, parking area, then trails. So that's down the road. This is a long term, but we're hoping not too long down the road, because a lot of people can't afford to get across the bay, and we'd like to have more trails on this side. And then the water trail will continue to maintain their adopted sites, and they're gonna construct two outhouses for use in the state park. And they're gonna work on accessible improvements at the ranger station, which is out in Halibut Cove Lagoon. And if you don't know about the water trail, Google it. They're working on their new website this year, but it's an amazing trail on the water that goes around all of Ketchumak Bay. And so they work on all the, you know, the camping areas and make sure there's bear boxes when you camp and all that. So our website is friendsofketchumakbay.org. And you can check out that. And again, we're on Facebook and Instagram, Friends of Ketchumak Bay State Parks, plural. And also if you're in Homer, Homer Saw and Cycle has paper copies of the volunteer forms. So we made sure we had paper copies available for people who don't like to download PDFs and fill them in and email them. So we already have a volunteer list of over 40 people, and the snow is not melted yet. So I'm looking forward to a good season this year. And we're gonna try to be a little more organized as far as picking certain days a week that we know we're gonna go to Sadie Knob, and maybe certain days a week we're gonna go to Grace Ridge. We haven't figured that out yet. And we're hoping from the funding we got from 100 Women That Care, and we're to pay something, a little something at least, to the water taxis who have been generously donating water taxi rides. But if we have some cash, we wanna at least pay for their gas and a tip, because they're working people and they can only volunteer so much. So so what else was there? We had another thought. Anyway,
that's a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot going on at Homer. Kathy. So just a general picture. Some people aren't familiar with Homer. The state parks across the bay, so a water taxi ride. And I was in Little Tucker Bay last year, and was sort of tangentially aware of a trail crew up there, and those trails are amazing. What you've done down there is incredible. What the organization has done, and the volunteers and the state parks, and that's the Grace Ridge Trail, and the Sandy Knob Trail. That's over in that zone. Is that correct?
Sadie Knob and Grace Ridge are pretty much right across from Homer. I'm looking at them right now. Yeah.
Okay, great. And then we'll come back to sort of the volunteer stuff, but it sounds like there's a lot of volunteer opportunities, and that we'll have your organization's website up so people can access there. If you were to say a couple of the traits or skills people would need to go work in your zone, what would they be?
They would need to be able to, well, there's many volunteer opportunities. My husband, who has MS, who can't hike, signs up to volunteer, and he helps tune up and repair the tools. Because I forgot to mention, Friends has purchased our own gas-powered chainsaws and brush cutters. So he helps with that. So if somebody was if they could help with something like that, or even help with some of our organization on the computers and on Google Docs, we're always looking for volunteers to do that sort of thing. We also, if you want to hike and help across the bay or on this side with trails, you just need to be able to hike. You need sturdy shoes. You need to not be bothered by bugs. Bring lots of bug dope, bring a head net. And we provide bear spray if you don't have bear spray. And, but generally we're making so much noise, we don't see very much. And so you need to have a sense of humor, and you need to just have a little sense of adventure. And generally how we set it up is we have a qualified trained person with the gas chainsaw or the gas brush cutter. And we generally have if I'm handling a brush cutter, I might have two helpers behind me. One is raking and one is picking up the piles and throwing, and then they trade off. So make sure you can bend over, pick things up and throw them as far as you can downhill off the trail. And then lopping, you know, being able to reach up, reach down and lop the things that the brush cutter or the chainsaw misses. And, so being able to move around, and we don't Yeah, it's not a race. You know, some days we might get a half a mile done in a day. We might, if it's a good day, we'll get a mile done in a day. So I don't know. Does that answer your question?
That picture, I just want the listeners to have a little picture of what it's like. So that was perfect.
And it's so fun. And it's so beautiful over there that you, yeah.
It is.
It's like working in paradise. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really amazing place for sure. Great. This is Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Tortorella. We're about trails and trail projects and trail building and maintenance for this coming summer, 2021. We're going to take a little break now, and we'll be back for more, including folks from the Mat-Su Trails and Parks Foundation and Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers Association and Interior Trails. So stay tuned to Outdoor Explorer, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
Back to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Tortorella. Today, we're talking about trail and trail projects for the summer 2021. We've talked about South Central, and we talked about Kachemak Bay. Now let's go to the interior a little bit. I'm happy, very happy to have Kristin Vile back on the show, and she's with Interior Trails. Welcome back to the show, Kristin.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me and everybody for being here.
Tell us a little bit about your business and what you guys are up to this summer.
We are a family-owned and operated business out of the Healy, Alaska, hence the Interior Trails name. And we work all over the state for state, federal, private, nonprofit clients, just building and designing trails. We've been in business for about 12 or 13 years, coming out of a federal trail crew employment before that. And we're really excited about upcoming projects this summer. I'd be happy to talk about whatever you want to know.
Well, I think the one that I'm really excited about is the Kankasuvi connector. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's one we're really pretty motivated and focused on right now too. The Curry to Kasugi connector is the formal name of what we're working on right now. Basically, it's an alpine route that connects the Curry Ridge Trail or the Kasugi Ridge Trail above the Byers Lake connection entry point to the top of the new Curry Trail out of Kasugi Ken Campground. It's kind of a mouthful for people who aren't familiar with that area, but basically, it's the heart of Denali State Park. It's a middle piece that connects the north and south end of what's known as Curry Ridge, which in Denina was known as Kasugi Ridge. And it's going to provide connectivity that will give us in one of the longest remote hiking trails, I think, in the mainland part of the state, the road accessible portion. It's going to be close to 50 miles all said and done, and will allow hikers to start anywhere along the current Kasugi Ridge Trail, and then also at the new Kasugi Ken campground. It's at mile 135. I can't believe I don't know the exact mile for all the times I've pulled in and out of there. But it was built a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago now. And it's a great accessible entry point for people who are not as familiar with the backcountry mode of the other trailheads, where you kind of got to know which section do I want to do and where do I pull in and how do I do the car shuttle and all that. The Kasugi Ken campground entry is really pretty user friendly. There's a big campground in for tents and RVs, a lot of public use cabins, a lot of family and diverse ages and user groups feel really comfortable entering there. It's very user friendly. And so we're really, really psyched to be able to work on providing connectivity among all of those segments. And it's really rewarding during a period where, you know, the public is talking about justice and access and the importance of wild places and movement outside, this project really feels like it's tapping into all of that with some really great partnerships as well, which I can talk a little bit more about if you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah. So that trail, I was up there last fall, and it's Camp Kusuvi campground is an amazing campground. And it's a really very accessible trail up to sort of right at tree line, brush line. And it's a little sort of lollipop loop up there. And then, so that your work's going to connect that trail over headed north, correct?
Yes. Yep. And so basically the trail out of Kusuvi Ken Campground, which we have been calling the Curry Ridge Trail, we built the first part of that 5 years ago or so with mechanized equipment up to kind of a median point on the ridge. And that's very accessible. It's about 4 feet wide. You can push a stroller, walk a couple dogs, you know, whatever. The grades are a little bit steeper. It's not ADA by any means, but it, you know, it's pretty accessible as far as trail in the state go in that region. Then this trail telescopes down a little bit to a fairly long section, 3 or 4 miles, that was built by the Denali State Park trail crew over the last few years. They did a phenomenal job on it. We were kind of helped them with layout, getting set up on the right alignment, and they took the baton in a really great way. It's been really fun to see that program take off from some early training and mentorship to really being, you know, their own full-fledged expertise. And that's, we're all about that with the apprentice model of, you know, getting people from the volunteer base, like Kathy was talking about, to increasingly professionalized until you really can invest in a career, even in trail work. It's pretty great spread. But then the more developed infrastructure on the Kusuvi side or the Kusuvi Ken side terminates right now about 6.5 miles or so up. And then the closest point to connect to is on the Kusuvi Ridge Trail just past Byers Lake. And so there's this big, amazingly beautiful, people who know that park, the some of the most stunning views of the Alaska Range you could possibly hope for on a clear day. That part, the Kusuvi Ridge Trail, for those who've hiked on it, people know it's a lot more primitive. It was mostly a social trail route for mountaineering, hiking, horse use. A lot of it was never laid out, most of it never laid out properly, and it's full of a lot of maintenance nightmares and has a hard time handling increasing impact of use. So the trail we're building in between is striking the balance. It's going for the meticulously designed and laid out quality of a sustainable trail so that we know it's in the best possible place to last. But going with the class two or so feeling of the Kusuvi Ridge Trail, where you have more of a remote wildland hiking experience, not overly manicured. Large parts of it will actually just be minimal tread marking on scree and gravel with intermittent cairns, but it'll feel a lot more like a rugged overland route that's akin to what people are looking for when they get out in that region.
That's great. And someone told me there's a old like fire watchtower up there somewhere. Do you know about that?
Yeah, there's a pretty well developed, recently remodeled, the Curry Ridge Lookout, which is at the high point, on the ridge coming up off the Kusuvi Ken campground end of things. It's about maybe 7.5 miles or so from the trailhead up to the Curry Ridge Lookout. And yeah, it's poised up there on a little hummock of gravelly tundra. And that'll provide kind of a nice day hike end point. In and out from there would be, you know, 14 or so miles, whereas the whole through hike will be a lot longer than that. So I think it'll be great to provide a number of different entry points from that campground trailhead that provides a range of access for different types of users. And it's, I have to say again, it's mind-blowingly beautiful up there. Just everything from, you know, the bird life, some of the wetlands, the views of the Alaska Range, the tiny vegetation and plants that are so tenacious and has a wide range of bug life as well. The entomological experience up there is quite expansive.
Great. Any other projects you want to mention that are going on in the interior?
That's really the highlight. We're always got a number of balls in the air, but right now we're working on a couple of really exciting design projects for the city of Valdez and the Juneau Mendenhall Rec area, working on kind of big picture planning and design to increase trail opportunities there. We're working on a little bit on the Kenai, a couple other smaller projects here and there. But for right now, the Curry project is our real focus. It's a big project. It's being funded by a cooperative agreement between Mat-Su Trails and Parks, Wes, who's going to be on in a few minutes, and then Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and state parks as well, with a really cool funding source. Everybody gets bored when you start talking about money, but it's about 75% funded by Pittman-Robertson Grant, which is a federal grant based off of ammunition taxes, providing hunting and trapping and wildlands access money for that kind of development. And then about 25% of the funding comes from private donors as well through Mat-Su Trails and Parks, and then some in-kind donations from state parks as well. And the Pittman-Robertson angle has been really cool. For one thing, when you attach federal funding like that, it requires and also enables pretty high wages. And so it's really great for us in an era where there's so much pressure on the Alaska economy to be able to provide a number of jobs this summer for Alaskans with high level of competency. As a family-owned small husband and wife business where we've always done everything ourselves, it's a big leap for us, but it's exciting to be able to step in when it's so needed to have good, you know, well-paying jobs that are meaningful. And so that's been really exciting. And also it's cool, the Pittman connection is that historically those lands were used by the Dena'ina people for caribou hunting. So it's kind of a cool full circle that some of the funding is coming to preserve that similar kind of access.
That's great.
Although I haven't seen any caribou up there. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to ask that. Well, there's a couple other shows in their entirety. The economics of trails, that'd be a really cool show. And then also wildlife and trails. Well, thanks a lot, Kristen. It's been with Kristen Bile with Interior Trails, talking about the new project up in Denali State Park. So thanks again, you guys. Yep. Next up, this is Alaska Public Media's Outdoor Explorer, and we're talking about trails and trail projects coming up in the summer of 2021. Next up, we have Wes Hoskins with the Mat-Su Trails and Park Foundation. Welcome, Wes.
Hey, Paul. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This is my first time on Outdoor Explorer, and love what you've done in the outdoor community.
Thanks. Yeah, tell us a bit about the foundation and what you guys are up to.
Yeah, I'm Wes Hoskins, Executive Director with the Mat-Su Trails and Parks Foundation. The Trails and Parks Foundation is, our mission is to be the trails and parks resource for a healthy community in the Mat-Su. And the way that we express that is mainly we are a public charity, a foundation, and we express it through our grant making program, which we give out grants to great community groups in the Mat-Su, and groups that are like the ones that we have been on this panel, people from, like, while we don't grant to places in K-Bay, we stay in the Mat-Su borough, but the groups that are doing direct action stewardship and trail building work is that's who we are working with. We believe that groups in the community in their specific pockets, whether we're giving grants out to Glacier View or Willow or Houston or Palmer or the borough or state parks, they know their areas best. So we're a little bit different than some of the other folks here in that we're giving money out to organizations to do the work. We're not usually doing the work directly, other than, right, the Curry Ridge project that Christine talked about. That one is more direct action, where we're the fiscal manager there. So some highlights this year. We've had a really active winter funding cycle where we funded a lot of grooming equipment. We've helped out Big Lake Trails Incorporated and Dan Mayfield with an emergency snowcat purchase after one of their old Tuckers suffered a mechanical breakdown. We also funded a snowcat for Hatcher Pass Snow Riders Club. That was their first grant from us, which was very cool. We're always trying to find new partners. And the Hatcher Pass Snow Riding Club is a smaller, younger group, but is doing really good work in Hatcher Pass. You know, having good groom trails on the motorized side helps with all of the multi-use layers and issues that you can have in areas that have a lot of different people who love it and are using it in different ways. This summer, we're looking forward to a number of projects, working with Steve Cleary in Alaska Trails to fund some volunteer work that they're doing in the borough. That's been a partnership over the last couple of years, be able to provide volunteer projects out in the valley. Also working with Student Conservation Association to fund a young adult core team that will work on 5 weeks of conservation work, building and maintaining hiking and biking trails in the New Settlers Bay Park over in the Kinnick Goose Bay area, fastest growing neighborhood in the borough. So that probably means it's the fastest growing neighborhood in the state. Also funding trail maintenance on the West Butte Trail, a heavily loved trail that was formerly built by the borough just a couple years ago. Probably one of the most used trails in the Mat-Su Valley. And then the SCA crew will go out to Government Peak Recreation Area, where also Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers and Nelson is doing great work out there. We also helped fund a piece of snow grooming equipment for all of the great single tracks that are at Government Peak Recreation Area for winter fat biking. One project that I think is really cool that's on the smaller end of the spectrum is we funded an outdoor learning cart for Macintosh Elementary School, working with Alaskans for Palmer Hay Flats and a teacher at Macintosh. We were able to give money to the Palmer Hay Flats to fund the cart that has classroom materials, a science kit, educational tools, and also has trail maintenance tools that are appropriate to the young age of the participants to get them connected to thinking about trail stewardship and trail maintenance. And that is the people who are working with the teachers on that is going to be Alaska Department of Fish and Game, who manages the Palmer Hay Flats, that's the unit that is close to Macintosh Elementary School, where the kids will be able to basically walk from the elementary school with that cart over to the Swan Lake Trail. And one thing to talk about also is the Curry Ridge project that Gabe and Christine are working on with Interior Trails. You know, and one thing that Christine really highlighted was the funding opportunities and how important funding is. While it is something that is boring, it's, you know, I think that many listeners might not realize that it's the foundations, it's public charities, and it's individual donors that are helping to build out trails these days, especially in Alaska, and especially as outdoor recreation use keeps increasing. It's not so much governments. They are also struggling to maintain the trail system that they have right now. So if you really love trails and you want to give back, you don't need to go out and do your own trail building. That may not be sustainable, but you can donate to organizations like Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers, like Alaska Trails, like Friends of Kachemak Bay, and to Mat-Su Trails and Parks Foundation. It's those community donations that make it so that organizations can bring in the federal dollars. For the Curry Ridge project, it's a $1.2 million project. The match that the Trails and Parks Foundation is providing for that is over $300,000. And that's coming from in large part the Mat-Su Health Foundation. And then it's from community donors who love the area.
That's a great point. And then trails are a well-built trail. It's not as a complex and somewhat expensive project. I would say that in Alaska, we've seen we have a history of social trails turn into a regular trail, which is not sustainable, and then we have to go back and fix them. So that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
What can you, Wes? Can you explain a little bit that relationship between, you mentioned SCA, which is the Student Conservation Association, and it seems like there's a lot of people involved in trail building in this state. Maybe Steve can chime in a little bit on this too. And how do you all, it seems like you all work really well together. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, our relationship with SCA is a national environmental stewardship organization that, you know, has a huge range of programs that funds research assistance, it funds trail crews, it funds crews that are out removing invasive species, you know, all over the nation. And they have specific foundation relations specialists that work with directors like me in the communities that SCA has a footprint in. So those relations specialists then look and find the local funding sources to make it so that in many cases you have an SCA coordinator that lives in the area, and they may have an office. SCA has an office in Anchorage and a shop in Indian, and that SCA regional office is then doing different projects, whether it's in Anchorage or the Mat-Su, and they apply to us, and then they go out and do the work to bring in, usually it's young adults, and the makeup of that SCA crew is many times they're local, many times they're from rural Alaska, and then many times they're from the lower 48.
Steve, do you want to add anything to that about that coordination effort and how?
Yeah, SCA is a great partner that builds trails all over the state, but they're also building the next generation of trail stewards, and they have a big alumni network, and we're just grateful to partner with them on things like training and other resources that they have, because they are a large organization with connections across the US, and they're very generous with sharing their expertise and their training and personnel. It's just been really, really great. And often our volunteer events have been conducted alongside their crews and also with other partners like Alaska Geographic. And it really brings a nice age variation to it. Often our volunteers skew a little bit older. And so to have young people and those of us 50 plus working on trails together at the same time is a nice, just a nice benefit and a nice community building thing.
Yeah, we need the Venn diagram of where there's all this. We have Christine and Gabe and their business. We have volunteer organizations like down at Kachemat Bay, but SCA, we have Alaska Trails, we have, it just goes on. I think a youth employment and park here in Anchorage working on trails. Between sort of professional or, paid positions and the volunteer effort, there's a lot going on compared to 10 years ago, like 15 years ago. It's incredible to me how this has really taken off. So kudos to you all. Wes, what else do you want to talk about with Mat-Su Trails?
One thing I'd like to highlight, that while grant making is our bread and butter, we do run a couple different other initiatives to get people out and get people connected to the trails and parks in the valley. And we have right now the Get Outside Mat-Su Photo Challenge. Wow. A lot of these virtual challenges have been happening because we've been physically distancing for a while now. But yeah, so if you're out recreating in the Mat-Su, it doesn't matter if you live in the Mat-Su. Many people from Anchorage go to the Mat-Su to get outside. All you have to do is take a snap, take a picture of something that you're doing in the Mat-Su, and send that photo in to matsutrails.org/getoutside, or you can just Google that, matsutrails.org/getoutside, and then send in that photo, and it, a little blurb is always great, and you'll get entered to win a whole bunch of cool prizes. We'll be drawing prizes monthly. It'll be Mat-Su parking passes, handmade hats and purses, gift certificates, and a lot of other great prizes from local businesses.
Great, thanks. And we'll have that link and all these other links on the Outdoor Explorer website. So lastly, we have Nelson Crone with Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers. Welcome, Nelson, and tell us a bit about your organization and what you guys are up to.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm Nelson Crone. I'm with VIMBA, which is Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers, and we're based in the Mat-Su. Most of our people are in the core area, but we definitely have members out to Sutton, Chickaloon, and Wasilla and Houston as well. We're a volunteer organization. We started 16 years ago, roughly. Started as an advocacy group, but now are very involved in building trails and revamping and creating more sustainable trails of trails that exist. We are in a pretty fast developing area out here in the valley. So that's been one of our big points in the past, was to try to work on preserving some of these outdoor spaces that are just so important to us. It's a super beautiful region, as you guys know. But yeah, so more about the organization. We're fully volunteer based. If you want to join us, you can head over to our website at vimba.org. And the cool part is that you can sign up as a member, but you don't have to, and you can still do some volunteer work for us as well. We're always looking for volunteers, and I will talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. So that's kind of our organization. I want to highlight some of our trails that we're working on. So the trails that we have recently been working on are located at GPRA, which is Government Peak Recreation Area. And that's at the base of Hatcher's Pass for folks that don't know where that is. So it's got a lot of different variety of trails. It's very multi-use. We have a lot of ski trails there, horse trails, mountain bike trails, and of course, hiking trails. So anyway, the most recent trails that we would like to highlight is the Pink Rose Trail, Pink Wild Rose. And that is an ADA trail, which is really cool because we tried on this one to particularly allow for handicap access. So that trail is pretty unique, and we hope to hopefully build more trails like that in the future. That one was funded by the Mat-Su Trails and Park Foundation and the Rasmussen Foundation. So as you've heard earlier in the program, we work together quite closely with a lot of these different groups. Another one that's recent is Larkspur and Jacob's Ladder, which are really downhill mountain bike trails. They're flow trails. So that's been a pretty big focus recently, is to increase the riding in the area, which has been fantastic. So those trails, they're really designed for intermediate riding, but all of our trail building recently has been designed to have tabletops and different features that can be rolled or bypassed. So you don't necessarily have to be a super advanced rider to enjoy these trails. It's really important. And so those trails were funded by AKA Recreational Trails Program, RTP, and REI. So yeah, very fantastic trails. So another couple other ones that we were working up there are Puffball and Amanita, which are ones we built last summer, but they're not done yet. So these would be a really good opportunity we actually need more volunteer hours for those particular trails. And those are other, we have one up track to get more connection in that trail system up there at GPRA to take you back up to some of the other downhill tracks. And we're trying really hard to develop that area into a pretty like world-class flow track type of riding. And let's not blaze over the fact that we still got a bunch of snow on the ground. So the fat biking is very important, very up and coming popular activity up at Government Peak Recreation Area.
That's great. I helped build the Lazy Moose Trail a long, long time ago. So.
A couple years ago. Yeah. So one other area that we're pursuing going into this year is the Lazy Mountain area. That's another really fantastic area that sometimes gets underutilized, but it's definitely known for hiking. So, and there are ski trails there, but they're all pretty advanced ski trails. So we're pursuing a trail up to 8 miles of new trail that would be really geared towards fairly low angle, really contoured trail that would be accessible for beginners, and it's geared for hiking, but it's definitely multi-use. There's a lot of horse riders in the area and riding, skiing, and hiking. So that's kind of one of our new projects, and it's still in the process, but we're working on getting funding for that.
That's right. And you're all volunteer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all volunteer. And so do you have opportunities to people to get to your website to, you know, if they want to help out?
Yeah, so this year we're kind of revamping our volunteer opportunities. In the past, we did like a Wednesday night, one day a week, and we have our tools and a job trailer. So we supply all the tools needed. No previous training is required. So if you're interested in helping volunteer, our main focus, as I was briefly saying earlier, was we're working on the downhill flow trails this year, and we definitely need volunteers. So if you're interested in that, head over to our website at vimba.org, and there's a link right on the home landing page that you can volunteer at. So you can become a member if you want, and if you just want to volunteer, you can actually sign up for free. And once you do that, you fill out the volunteer form, and then you'll get the updated emails, and also on Facebook, Vimba on Facebook. And if you want to see some of the photos of these recent trails, are really fantastic photos, go over to our Instagram, Vimba Instagram account, or the Facebook account. There's some fantastic pictures of the kind of riding you can do on these trails. So
that's great. Thanks, Wes, for that update. This was Nelson Crone with the Valley Mountain Bike and Hiking Association. I want to, this is, I'll wrap up our show now. This has been Paul Tortek with Outdoor Explorer, and we've been talking about trail work projects for the summer of 2021. And I thank you to my guest for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having us, Paul. It was great.
Yep, thanks, Steve, and happy trails to everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks.
Good luck
Happy
out there,
trails.
Everybody.
Thanks for listening. And to our guests, Steve Cleary, Kathy Sarns Irwin, Kristen Bile, Wes Hotskins, and Nelson Crowe for joining us. Finally, thanks to our producer, Eric Bork. This is your host, Paul Tordak, and from all the hosts at Outdoor Explorer, we'll see you on the trails.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and in your favorite podcast app. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.